Pastor Jack Longley has been with us before. I think he preached here several months ago. He was a senior pastor at the Trinity Presbyterian Church on Union Avenue. That's in San Jose, not too far from our church. And he is currently a parish associate at Los Gatos Presbyterian Church. And once in a while, we get together for breakfast. And it's been good to have fellowship with Pastor Jag. And I'm glad that he can give us his words again today. So let's welcome Pastor Jack.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Pastor Joe. This must be a Baptist congregation. More people are sitting in the back than in the front. You're brave to invite me to come back again, Pastor Joe. When you ask a guest pastor to come and preach, you hope that he's good enough so that people will come back the following week. But you hope that he's not so good that when they come back the following week and he's not preaching, they'll wonder what happened to the dude that was there the week before. This is the third church that I've addressed in this sanctuary. When I came to San Jose on Mother's Day of 1978, this is where I preached my candidating sermon to become the pastor of Trinity Church. That was then the Calvin Presbyterian Church. And then I preached several years ago when I was serving in this facility for the Onary Church. And I preached. So three different congregations all in the same sanctuary. I'm glad to be with you and thank you for inviting me. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, I ask that you would fall upon us. Speak to us. And may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, Lord God. Speak to us through your power of the Holy Spirit. Speak to us through the Word of God as it's proclaimed. Speak to us through the Holy Spirit that nudges us closer to you. And unite us, O God, as we gather together here. May your word become alive within us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message this morning is, Hey Lady, You Forgot Your Bucket. And by the way, Pastor Joe, I asked the praise team if they would come back and sing that song that they just sang at the conclusion of the message. I hope you approve. If you don't, they're going to come anyway. Thank you. I was really blessed by their singing, especially that song. You may recall that when I was here in May, I talked about barriers, how that relationships can be affected by barriers that we put up. I told you about a teacher who had misjudged something I did in school. And it created such a barrier for me because it resulted in my getting a bad grade that I felt I did not deserve. And that barrier lasted in my life for about 32 years. And it wasn't until I confessed that and gave that to God that I found real peace. But we all put up barriers, don't we? There's no barrier as a Christian that is too great. We're bolstered by the words of the Apostle Paul. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then Jesus promised, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never let you down. I will be with you always With God, all things are possible. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? All things with God are possible. We can do all things through Christ, not in our own strength, but through Christ. We have a perfect example of that in our narrative this morning that Pastor Joe read. Jesus can break down every barrier. And Jesus is alive within you if you know him and have trusted him as your Lord and Savior. The same Jesus that walked on this earth is alive today within us. We read in the book of Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus was on his way to Galilee. His popularity was soaring. People flocked to him because people were being healed. He was performing miracles, and they wanted to hear his teaching. His reputation was now widespread and went before him. But Jesus' route to Galilee was very unusual. The text states Jesus had to go through Samaria, which is fascinating. Let me tell you why. He had to go through Samaria. Jesus was a man with a message. He knew what God wanted him to do. And so he followed where God led him, and he had to go through Samaria. Why is this so unusual? Jews never traveled through Samaria. They avoided it like the plague. They preferred crossing the river and taking a route that would take them 3 days longer to get where they were going. They always bypassed Samaria. There was great prejudice between the Jews and the Samaritans. And Jesus was there to break down some barriers. You see, the Samaritans were descendants of those who had not been deported or killed in the fall of the northern kingdom. They had intermarried with heathen from Babylon and Assyria, and they were looked upon by the Jews as unclean traitors. Samaritans accepted only the first 5 books of Moses in the scripture. So the Jews called them heretics because they did not accept all of the Hebrew scriptures. And Samaritans were hostile towards the Jews as the Jews were hostile towards the Samaritans. They had offered the Jews assistance to rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem, but the Jews refused their help because they considered them unclean. Because of this, the Samaritans refused to worship the same place that the Jews were. So they built their own place in Gerizim. If a Jew tried to go through Samaria like Jesus was doing, he would be detained, he would be harassed, and many times they never heard from again. So Jews avoided all contact with the Samaritans. Therefore, the words, Jesus, a Jew, had to go through Samaria. Interesting. About noon, Jesus arrives at a fork of the road at Sychar, the locale of Jacob's well. It was a very historic spot. This is where Jacob had dug the well for his family. And on his deathbed, he gave the property to Joseph. And Joseph's body had been carried back from Egypt and was buried there. So sense the history of where Jesus was. And here he is, exhausted, it says, from the journey. So Jesus sent his disciples into town to find the local 7-Eleven to buy some bologna, some crackers, some Coca-Cola or iced tea, or maybe some kimchi. While he's there, a Samaritan woman approaches the well. She comes to draw water. You say, why is this so unusual? You see, the well was the gossip place for all the women in town. That's where they gathered, but they gathered every night. They came in the cool of the evening to get their water. But this woman came at noon. Why? She was an outcast. She was an outcast, so she had to come in the heat of the day, and she was embarrassed if she was around the other women. So Jesus makes a request of this woman. Now, get the scene. He's hot. He's sitting by the well. Here comes this woman coming to draw water to take back home. And Jesus says, give me a drink. Give me a drink. Will you give me a drink? This broke down two barriers. First, men did not speak to women in public in those days. But throughout the scripture, Jesus raised up and elevated the status of women. Secondly, Jews did not speak to Samaritans. So you see, Jesus saw the barriers, but he broke them down. And now we see the reason why Jesus had to go through Samaria. He had an appointment that God had set up with destiny with this woman. They have an interesting conversation, and Jesus makes an unusual request. And the woman replies, quite puzzled, "You're a Jew. You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" This was an unheard of request. A male Jew requesting a drink from a female Samaritan. The Samaritans and Jews did not speak to each other, but he broke down the barriers speaking to this woman. Little does she realize that the one requesting a drink from her was one who could offer her the everlasting water of life. And he responds, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." This tired traveler makes a very unexpected offer. He offers us the gift of God, living water, just for the asking. She views this as very absurd. She says, "You have nothing to draw with. How can you get water from the well? You don't even have a bucket." She's thinking of the practical. She asks a series of questions. She says to him, "Where can you get this living water?" Then she says, "You think you're greater than our father Jacob?" As if she's saying, "By what right do you have to make such an outrageous offer?" And Jesus responds, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. And whoever drinks the water I give to them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become like a spring of water welling up to eternal life." You see, water throughout the scripture is a symbol of life. The psalmist wrote, I'm sure your praise team sings it on occasion, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my heart for you, O God." Another passage, Jesus offered an invitation, said, "Anyone who thirsts, let them to come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of their heart will flow rivers of living water." You see, the water from the spring could only bring temporary satisfaction. The woman would go home with her water, but she'd have to come back tomorrow. Then she'd go home, and she'd come back again the next day. But the offer that Jesus gave her was abundant, and it would last eternally. The woman kind of gets excited in the process. She says, "Sir, give me this water, so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming to draw water." You see, she missed it. She missed exactly what he said. She doesn't yet comprehend the immensity of what Jesus is offering. She's only thinking of her physical needs. She didn't want to come in the heat of the day, and it was very hot in that part of the country. His water would savor the embarrassment and the drudgery of coming here every day. Now Jesus deals with a very interesting subject. Sin. sin. You know, Jesus knows everything about us. You know, with Jesus, there are no secrets. You may hide things from your parents. You may hide things from your children or your spouse or your employer. But Jesus knows everything there is to know about us. And the amazing thing is, he loves us in spite of what he knows. We may go in our rooms, turn off the lights, pull down the blinds, and hide in the closet, but he's there. The psalmist says, if I go to the high heavens, he's there. If I go to the depths of the earth, he's there. He's everywhere. With him, there are no secrets. You can hide nothing from him. And Jesus knew exactly where this woman was spiritually. He said, go call your husband and have him join us. Like many today, this woman was involved in a series of broken, entangled relationships. Her domestic life was a disaster. She had not been married once, twice, three times, four times, even five times. And yet now she was living with a man who was not her husband. Jesus' gift was free, but it had to be received through repentance. This was her moment of decision. This was an offer to make her whole. This was an offer to say, I accept you for who you are. As Jesus accepts you and as Jesus accepts us for who we are. The hymn says, just as I am, without one plea I come. We come to Jesus because he's extended the offer. We come to Jesus because the Holy Spirit nudges us to come to Jesus. We come to Jesus because Jesus, I know everything you've done in your life and I love you. That's why I went to the cross. Because I love you. She says, I have no husband. And he let her know that she'd been married five times, was living with a man that wasn't her husband. It was like the old program that used to be on television, This Is Your Life. He knew her. She responds by saying, you must be a prophet. This man knew her life. He knew her past. He knew her present. And yes, he already knew her future. And she does what so many people do. And I've shared the gospel with hundreds of people in the near 61 years I've been in ministry. So many times you get right to the point when someone is willing to receive Christ into their life. And then they do change the subject. So she says to Jesus, well, tell me, where's the best place to go and worship? You Jews, you say Jerusalem, but we come here. So tell us, where's the best place? And Jesus says, that's not what's important. The day is coming when we will worship God in spirit and in truth. The woman then speaks about the Messiah who was to come. And Jesus startles her. He says, that's me. I who is speaking to you am he. And that woman immediately became a living witness. I love this part. Jesus' disciples return. They've got their groceries in their bags and some drinks in the cooler and whatever they brought back. And they return and they're troubled by what they see. Because Jesus was talking to this woman. Jesus was knocking down a barrier and they didn't understand it. Rabbinic law for the Jews said, listen to this, a man shall not be alone with a woman in an inn or a hotel, not even with his sister or his daughter, on account of what men may think. A man shall not talk with a woman in the street, not even his own wife, and especially not with another woman on account of what other people would say. They were thinking, Jesus, he's really gone off the deep end here. He's broken tradition. But in the meantime, an amazing thing happens. The woman takes off. Now, let me ask you, why did she come to the well? Somebody tell me. To get water. What did she put the water in? A bucket. And she goes to town and she leaves the bucket. Hello? Anybody there? You know, the woman who had lost esteem, the woman who's an outcast, the woman was made to believe, here's a man who has made me feel that I am worth something. Here's a man that has given me self-esteem. And that's exactly what Jesus does in our lives. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like maybe you're the bottom of the totem pole. Maybe you're here and you feel like you're not worth very much. I have news for you. In Jesus' mind, you're the greatest. In Jesus' mind, you are somebody very special. In Jesus' mind, he says, that's why I went to the cross. For you. To make you special. So you see, when she left and left the bucket, that bucket represented her old life. In that bucket was husband number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, and her sin of adultery living with another man at this point. She left the bucket because she received the living water that Jesus had offered her. Now she wants to share her discovery. Isn't that what happens when somebody is brand new in their faith? The first thing they want to do is tell somebody else about what God has done for them. I heard Pastor Joe speak to our presbytery a year or so ago about the importance of evangelism and taking the good news out and making disciples of other people. And that's what Jesus is doing. She wants to share her discovery. And so she runs into the city. Wait a minute. Women didn't go to downtown. Women did not go to the city during the daytime. Women did not speak to men. And men did not speak to women. And she comes running with such enthusiasm, she forgets all tradition. She knocks down every barrier because Jesus that breaks down barriers broke down the barrier in her life. She says, come. Come with me. See a man who told me that everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And it says, the men of Syria that were on the street followed. They went out and found Jesus. You see, she'd never taken a course in evangelism, but she was a living witness of the transformation of what God can do in our lives. And she merely told them their story. I've had people say to me, you know, I haven't gone to seminary. I haven't gone to Bible college. I haven't even been in a lot of Bible classes. I don't know how to witness. Oh, yes, you do. You have a story to tell. What God has done in your life. What God did in Sujin's life. What God in Joe's life. What God did in my life. Those are our stories. And they're worth telling to someone else. So she invited him, come and see. Come and see. Come with me. And you know what? She was believable. They saw in this woman a transformation. They saw a glow in her. They believed what she said because it was so real. It's hard to dispute those who've encountered Christ. Because of that woman's ministry, many believed in Jesus. Now let's talk about you. Let's talk about you. Have you drank from the living water that Christ offers? Has your life been transformed and made new? Have you really come to know the Christ who is real within you? The Christ, as I said, who walked among us, who wants to reside within you, who promises to give you power for your life, who's promised to be with you everywhere you go, No situation will be too great. That Christ is available to you. Have you left your water pot behind? What do you mean, Pastor Jack? Have you left that water pot? Habits? Addictions? Bad relationships? Have you left them behind? Leave your pot behind and come to Him. And have you received that free gift of that living water? The gift of God's grace. Grace, G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. Have you received that? And are you faithfully telling others? Every day you encounter someone who wants to hear about Jesus. I'm a member of a gym. That's why I'm built so strong. Why all the guys envy me, you know. I'm a member of a gym, but I'm a member of a gym that is run by Jewish people. The Jewish Community Center. And I went there and I thought, I really would like to be incognito. Let's talk about baseball. Let's talk about Steph Curry. Let's talk about the 49ers. Let's talk about movies. Let's talk about everything. And the first day I had my trainer, he said, "So, you're a pastor." Somebody blew my cover. And he poured out his heart to me. Saturday, I'm on the treadmill working away. And a man from Ethiopia walks up and he says, "Will you pray for me?" Yeah. Man that was at the front desk when I came in, he said, "Are you still praying for me?" And I said, "Every day." You know, God places us in strange places. I'm in a place run by Jews. God bless them. But God has placed me there. And God has placed you, whether it's in school, in your neighborhood, in your place of employment, God has placed you there to share the good news. I'm asking the praise team to come. They're going to sing. But before they come, I want you to know that, as I did last time, I will be down here afterwards. I won't go to the door. I'll be here. If you want prayer, I will be glad to pray with you. If you need to leave your water pot behind, let's do it together. If you're struggling with some issues in your life and you need somebody to help you to get beyond them, I'll pray with you. I'll just be down here. Now, Lord, we've given your word, and now we offer these people to you and ask that your Holy Spirit would continue to speak. Speak through our team as they come and sing for us. May we really hear the words, what they're saying. May they speak to us as they spoke to me. And Spirit of the living God, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would touch hearts here. The people who maybe need to leave that water pot behind. People who are struggling with habits in their life, addictions in their life, barriers in their life. You are the one who knocks down every barrier and helps us to leave the past behind and move and walk each day with you. We pray this in Jesus' name.